Now, since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, Wisconsin has seen a big influx in filed unemployment claims since the virus forced businesses to shut their doors. The almost exponential increase in claims in a short period of time has created a backlog of unfilled or unapproved claims with the State Department of Workforce Development that's left many in Wisconsin with no income. Our next guest joins us to talk about how the agency is responding to these unemployment claims and what still needs to be done. Caleb Frostman is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Secretary Frostman, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Well, where are we now? What does our backlog look like in Wisconsin when it comes to unemployment claims?
Sure. As of Monday, which was yesterday, we are at about 86.7% of all weekly claims, about 4 million weekly claims since March 15th, have been resolved. So that means they've been paid or they have been denied, or there are a few other really small categories in there as well. But that leaves about 13.3% of all weekly claims in adjudication, which is just a big word for investigating eligibility. And that can be a really simple fix. It can be nine really challenging questions. And so we've got a really highly qualified, hardworking staff working through that caseload, putting in long hours to make sure we can get folks paid as quickly as possible.
The big concern was, okay, for a lot of people, the system is functioning as designed. It's turning around okay. But for some of those people in that adjudication process, they've raised concerns that it's dragged on for weeks, even months for them. Do we have a handle on how many people have those longer-term unresolved applications still outstanding?
We do. And so we've, based on the urgency of the folks claiming unemployment insurance, have been working hard to prioritize those oldest claims first. And so when we look at our caseload of what's left as far as, weeks in adjudication, we are around that, 5% mark for weeks that were claimed in March. So that doesn't mean the claim was started in March. It might have been started later and backdated, but it gradually, goes up week by week through the end of the last week we have information, which is in June. So that 13.3% is all weeks claimed. But going back to those earliest weeks, we see the smallest number of claims outstanding, which is, what we want to see is we prioritize those earliest weeks. And as we release those holds and, work through adjudication on those earliest claims, those often release a number of later weeks. And so we'll see kind of a waterfall effect. But, prioritizing those oldest claims first has helped us, have that the newest claims, have the largest number of claims that are still held. But we're at that 13.3% mark over the course of the last 12, 13 weeks since March 15th. But we're looking at, at a graduated scale, with much lower numbers for those first few weeks and first few months.
For those people that 5% of those oldest claims still unresolved, what would you say to them? Are there ways that their situation, their application can be expedited to resolve it one way or another, whether the claim is ultimately approved or not?
I think the best thing we can have folks do is continue to file your weekly claims online. It's really important to do that because if you're found to be eligible, you'll get all pay you're entitled to, including back pay, but that requires continuing to file weekly claims. But as far as what they can do, I think make sure it's interesting during this time, we'll be making phone calls. Our adjudicators take phone calls and make phone calls and just try to be as timely as possible. And that also goes for employers. Oftentimes we have to determine the situation or the circumstances around a separation, and that can take some time with calls to an employer and to the claimant. So just being timely in any return phone calls is really important. And then if anyone, is either losing a job again in this pandemic or for the first time, just making sure as much as possible that initial claim is accurate and clean, because if those are inputted accurately and cleanly, we can see payments for many claimants within a week. So it's just a matter of making sure we're timely and responsive. And of course, our staff continues to work hard to make sure we're doing all we can on our end to move those claims forward.
We're talking to Caleb Frostman, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, looking at unemployment claims here in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about the process or an experience, if you're one of the people who's been waiting for an answer for a long time, or if the system worked great for you, love to hear either stories and all points in between, 800-642-1234. 1234. Secretary Frostman, the state Republicans have been pretty critical of how the DWD has reacted so far. In a statement, this is from last month, a group of lawmakers say, quote, "We continue to be disappointed at the slow response of this administration, their lack of success getting emergency financial assistance to people in need. We hope these issues get addressed readily because every day DWD delays positive action is another day our constituents wait for vital financial assistance." Some of their critiques include they say the agency hadn't utilized bipartisan legislation to bring employees of other state agencies in to handle claims. How do you respond to that criticism?
Sure. And in this time, you know, there's certainly going to be, you know, partisan thoughts on this. And we, you know, certainly have done all we can from the very beginning. I think the biggest piece that, you know, we've tried to work on is the staffing level. With the volume that we saw, you know, the no other, you know, economic crisis has been like this. We've gone from 3% unemployment in the middle of March to about 13% the following month. No one's ever seen volume like this. And so to, you know, get on top of the caseload, we needed to hire a number of staff. And so we've, I think we feel really optimistic that we've got about 1,000 new people on board. I think over 1,000 as far as new staff, as far as intergovernmental transfers, and as far as vendors on calls, on claims processing and adjudication. So we've gone from about 500 employees at the onset of COVID to about 1,600 or 1,700 in a matter of a number of months. And it's been, you know, really important for us to vet those candidates thoroughly, make those hires, of course, but then train them thoroughly, because it's one thing to take a phone call. It's another to, you know, be able to answer questions and add value to a claimant's experience. And, of course, you know, the folks that are doing adjudication and claims processing have to be thoroughly trained as well. And some of those folks take 1 to 4 weeks. And so we've been, you know, working since day one to make sure we can address this. And just the unprecedented volume coupled with, you know, a 50-year-old mainframe technology system that's been really difficult to onboard these new federal programs. It's just been a real challenge. So we've been really, you know, working hard and putting in long hours to make sure we can get this done. And the team at DWD has been sticking their nose to the grindstone for the last 3 months to make sure that can happen.
Another criticism had been that you hadn't expanded hours during which people could call in. What has changed? Are you looking to expand possible call-in hours even more?
Sure. And so it's interesting. I think it's important to note that, you know, the call center hours are certainly, you know, important as far as customer service. And there are some things that can be handled over the phone as far as clearing up questions. But, you know, the vast majority of what's going to be clearing claims are our claims processors and adjudicators. And we've been adding those in droves since day one. And it was important for us to have an adequate number of staff on the phones to be able to answer the volume of calls that were coming in. So it's really kind of a, you know, walk and chew gum, add staff. And as we do that, expand hours. We've already expanded hours once by about 2 hours. And then just this week, we expanded hours again by an hour and 15 minutes each workday. Excuse me. And then also added our first Saturday hours this coming Saturday, July 11th. We will start Saturday hours from 7 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So it's been important to us to provide customer service, but we want to be able to provide adequate customer service with the number of staff required to provide you know, quality service to our clients, not just say that we have longer hours with the same number of people answering the same number of calls. We want to be able to answer more calls in the same amount of time. So we've been doing that as staff has come on board.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rose is with us in Green Bay. Rose, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to ask about, Rose?
I'm one of those people that have been waiting for about 8 weeks, as well as about 40 of my coworkers, and each and every one of us has not seen any payments at all. And we all have the same pending thing. And I'm just reaching out saying, I get it that you're overwhelmed, but at what point, like now I'm using my savings, I can't put rent on a credit card and get a late fee, and I'll, you know what I mean? It's a snowball effect. So what I want to know is where, when it says pending, did I do something wrong? Did all my coworkers do it incorrectly? Like, I don't see, you know, we've all tried to answer the questions appropriately. And what, you know, how long can we still anticipate the wait?
Rose, thanks. Good luck. Good luck to you and your coworkers. Secretary Frostman, what does this pending mean for Rose and her colleagues?
Sure, and great question, Rosen. And so pending does not necessarily mean anyone did anything wrong. It just means that there's further investigation needed, whether that's from your current employer or from past employers. Just the laws governing unemployment insurance in Wisconsin and the U.S. require that we investigate all employment and wages over the base period, which is 18 months. So it does not indicate that anyone did anything wrong. It just indicates that there's additional work that has to happen to determine eligibility for your claim. And so it does not mean anything went wrong. It just means that we've got additional work to do on our end.
We're talking to Caleb Frostman. Thanks for that call, Rose. Caleb Frostman is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. He's with us to talk about what's happening with unemployment claims and procedures in the state amid the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about how unemployment claims are handled? What changes would you like to see in this process? Are you waiting for your claim to be to get a response? Or did you apply and the system worked for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Of course, we can't check on the status of your individual unemployment claim here on the air. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we continue our conversation about how the state is handling unemployment cases amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Our guest is Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about how the state handles unemployment claims? The newest wrinkles from federal relief efforts. If you have experience applying for unemployment, has it gone well? Has it gone poorly lately for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Dan is with us in Dodgeville. Dan, hello.
Yes, hello, Ron. Good afternoon. I was just wondering, how are you doing with the self-employed claims?
Self-employed claims, Secretary Frostman, and as I understand it, this was a new change from that federal relief effort, the CARES Act.
It is, yep. So that program is called Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, or PUA, and we've gotten about 70,000 PUA applications, and we've paid about 10,000 of those. So we're continuing to work through PUA, and the issue with PUA and how it's different than regular UI, at least is how we process it, it's much more a manual process. Our system, antiquated as it is, has a lot of the data in it that's necessary to determine, in some cases, eligibility, but also the dollar amount that someone is eligible for when it comes to standard unemployment insurance, whereas PUA, someone in our department has to analyze both eligibility and then determine the monetary amount. So it takes longer. We've also really expanded that staff, obviously, based on the volume of claims that are coming in. And we're seeing a really strong progress week over week and even day over day as far as how many PUA claims we are processing and paying. But certainly understand we'd like to move that faster for us, but also for, of course, claimants throughout Wisconsin that have applied for pandemic unemployment insurance. Unemployment assistance.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to go back to something you were saying a few minutes ago, Secretary Frostman, about investigating older claims. One of our reporters here at WPR had profiled some people and their experience with unemployment. And in one case, a holdup was, you know, a previous job that they'd had in that 18-month time frame. They weren't clear on whether they were technically fired or laid off. Is that the kind of little question that can put a snag in the process and delay the full processing of an application?
It can, yeah. So those type of separation circumstances can have an effect in adjudication. It's those callbacks that if there are multiple employers and multiple separations over the course of that 18-month period, you know, as we follow the laws of the Department of Labor and state unemployment insurance, those are the issues that can cause, you know, headaches for claimants and delays in adjudication. So those are some of the things that can hold up a claim in adjudication.
What other groups, we mentioned self-employed, are there other groups that can apply for unemployment compensation that couldn't have before the CARES Act?
Sure. Well, I think the self-employed freelancers are also under PUA as are independent contractors. So PUA is meant to kind of catch those folks that wouldn't otherwise be eligible. And then there's also I think, a 12-item checklist as it relates to COVID-19 for that wouldn't otherwise qualify for regular unemployment insurance. And then the third and final federal program through the CARES Act is known as Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation, or PEUC, and that's to provide benefits to those that have exhausted their UI eligibility. They've used all their weeks, and PEUC allows for 13 more weeks of benefits, and that also, just like PUA, regular state UI, and then PEUC, through July 25th, get that additional $600 a week through Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation, or FPUC.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hi.
Thank you. Secretary Frossman, I'm sorry, but I've been familiar with this unemployment system in the state of Wisconsin for decades. And even under supposedly ideal conditions, it worked very, very badly. It was incredibly slow, very Byzantine. I've lived in other states, for instance, Minnesota, and unemployment claims are taken care of in a fraction of the time. I've watched both political parties in the state of Wisconsin fail to improve this system. I've never once heard the secretary in charge of it, appointed from any party, complain to the legislature that it needed to be updated and upgraded. Can you explain this, please?
Secretary Frossman, a bipartisan failure to update the system over the last couple of decades, Marcus says.
Sure. Well, I can certainly, you know, speak to some of the issues regarding modernization. So a lot of lessons were learned coming out of the Great Recession, and the system in 2014, 15, 16 through 18 was not upgraded. A lot of these issues were laid bare during that time frame, and the system, there wasn't a push to modernize then. When the new administration came in with Governor Evers and myself in January of 2019, we did begin exploring modernization and actually had vendor demonstrations and cost estimates, and COVID-19 hit before we could move forward, but had five or six different vendor demonstrations. And part of the issue, that's involved in this is the funding mechanisms for unemployment insurance are federal. So unemployment insurance in Wisconsin is federally funded. And a big portion of those formulas is based on kind of the perceived economic status, and a big piece of that is the unemployment rate. So when the unemployment rate is low and the economy is doing well, we don't have excess funds to invest in things like modernization, which, you know, based on our demonstrations last year, could cost $50 or $100 million. And so it does take, you know, some foresight to make those asks and to have that difficult conversation. But, you know, one of the lessons learned of this is, of course, again, to the urgency to modernize. But, you know, to even, you know, look at what the funding formulas look like going forward, that, you know, when these pandemics hit and we get extra dollars, they get spent on, you know, IT patches and, you know, huge staffing increases. And so then when the economy improves, those dollars go away. And it's kind of this vicious cycle where the funding formulas do not allow for adequate investment when times are good ahead of the next recession.
Marcus, thanks for the call. We're talking to Caleb Frossman, Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Workforce Development. Time for another caller, I think. Becky is with us in Oshkosh. Becky, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Becky?
Yes, the reason I'm calling is because I'm a freelance writer, and I lost one of my biggest freelance gigs due to the pandemic. I did not lose all of them, but this was the one that made up the most of my income. So my question is, do I qualify for unemployment?
Thanks for the call, Secretary Frossman.
Sure. Without knowing all the specifics of your case, sure. I can't speak to specific eligibility, but I would certainly encourage you to apply. It sounds like you'd probably be a better fit for PUA based on, you know, the freelance nature of the work, which is that pandemic unemployment assistance. And that runs to the end of the year. And if there's if you lost that job weeks or months ago, there's the potential for back pay for both PUA and for that extra $600 a week. So I would certainly encourage you to apply potentially for unemployment insurance first to perhaps be denied, which would allow you to apply for PUA as well. But it sounds like a better fit for PUA.
Becky, thanks a lot for that call. Secretary Frostman, our last couple minutes, I want to turn now from unemployment and getting those payments out to efforts to get people employed in Wisconsin. What kind of things do we have going around the state to help get people back into the workforce?
Sure. Well, it's been a pretty challenging couple of months, but early on in the pandemic, we were able to set up a new page on our Job Center of Wisconsin website to help marry those businesses that were still open and at that time considered essential and the folks that were looking for additional work. And that was seems to have been highly successful in connecting those folks. But it's interesting, our more traditional training and investment programs have stayed pretty steady. And we've actually gotten just this week announced a $9 million grant to expand apprenticeship in Wisconsin. And I think we're really excited about that for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is I think we've been pretty surprised and pleased with how well virtual instruction has gone for apprentices in Wisconsin. And obviously that's a way to earn a living wage while learning an in-demand transferable skill that earns a credential that follows you everywhere. And then we also continue to work on our grant programs like Wisconsin Fast Forward, looking for opportunities to help get the unemployed employed and help the folks that are currently working earn higher wages and have credentials, follow them throughout their career. So it's been an interesting, obviously, couple of months, but as we hopefully transition into recovery mode, our agency is a full-service agency that does unemployment insurance, but it also has a very robust employment and training division that is doing great work, and we're hopeful that those efforts are going to pay off here as Wisconsin continues to recover.
Secretary Frostman, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Caleb Frostman is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. He joined us today to talk about what's happening with the unemployment system here in the state amid the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak.